Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? It is absolutely beautiful outside. Stay right here, okay? We're going to start today with page 36. Let's stand. It's a little short song. Got a lot of good meaning to it. Jesus, the very thought of sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far the face to see, and in thy presence rest. No voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find all this, nor tongue nor pen can show, the love of Jesus, what it is. None but his loved ones know. Jesus, our only joy be thou, as thou our prize wilt be. Jesus, be thou our glory now and through eternity. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity, Lord, to come here to your house to worship you today, Lord. Thank you for the good week we had, for being there for us, Lord, for all that you give to us. We thank you for our nation, Lord. We know it's many, many problems. We pray, Lord, for our leaders that somehow, some way they might turn to you, Lord, for what they need and answering all the problems, Lord, that we have. Be with us, Lord. Help us to realize and understand that you're the only answer to the problem, Lord. Be with us today, Lord, as we, along with our pastor, go into a bit of your word. Oh, Lord, give John the power he needs today, Lord, to preach your message. May it fall on ears that need to hear it. Lord, I pray that souls might get right with you, Lord, before they leave today, if someone needs to. Lord, I just pray for a great day here as we finish up here this morning. Just guide and direct, Lord. Help us spread a little Christian love here today before we leave. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Page 52, please. 52.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate. All may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, purchase of blood, to every believer the promise. Jesus, pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us. Great things He hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport. Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
Thank you. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we have our evening service scheduled, studying some classic scripture. Lutheran Homes today also at 2:30, don't forget that. Policy committee meetings on the 6th. Communion is next Sunday. Personal evangelism is 9th and 23rd. Wilton, 11th and 25th. Deacon meeting, the July the 8th. Women's Bible study, the 16th at 6 o'clock at the community center. Please check with Kathy if you got any questions there. Men's Bible study, the 13th and the 27th. Check with Pastor on these dates. Danny's going to be gone. Spire Nursing Home Bible study, July 25th at 2. Check with Marlon on that August date there. Pastor's thought of the week, don't forget to plan a summer vacation away with God, not from God. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up more than often. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here in Your house again, Lord. The beautiful day, Lord, all that You've done so far, Lord. Just giving us the time, Lord, to give praise and honor to You, Lord, and the things that we've done so far. Be with us now, Lord, as we go into our morning worship service, Lord. Guide and direct my pastor. Be with him, Lord. Help him as he preaches today, Lord, that, again, that it would fall on ears that need to hear it. We have a time now, Lord, to express some gratitude back toward You, Lord. Be it the gift and the giver now, Lord, as we take up this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it my turn? No more song? Oh, we got, here it is. I'm sorry. Let's see. 760, please. Just a quick chorus. 760.
Jesus saves us.
Thank you. Jason, your turn.
Good morning. Get this adjusted over so my son doesn't have to do too much adjusting to the sound there. Well, this morning I had a song planned out. I was going to do it as well. And that is no less true through Jesus Christ. But he put something else on my heart to do today. And that song is Seek Ye First. With our country's birthday rapidly approaching, and the state of our country and the state of hearts in this country, he just put this on my heart. And I'm going to do a little bit of reading first. It's a short song, so I'll get to fill it up with a little bit of scripture. And this is out of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. And by the way, this is a sobering message, but it's also a message of hope. So either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his measure or stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whitherall shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. seek and he shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
As we come and have this opportunity to worship before Him. Greetings in the great name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today it is a wonderful day to be alive, right? It's a wonderful day to experience God's blessings and His goodness towards us. And the things that He has for us planned yet for this day and in the days to come, should His will prevail. So it's good to see a nice group out for summer, right? A lot of people are on vacation. Don't forget to pray for our campers that are at camp this week as well. Lonnie, you mentioned something too, that you thought we could have had services outside today.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could have too, but officially, because everyone likes to have the amplification, the air conditioning, the lack of bugs, but we do have a morning worship service scheduled for the 22nd, I believe it is, of September down at the park. And, you know, during COVID, we did a lot of outdoor services here at the church. Hey, have a good time in Children's Church today, all right? Yes, have a great day. Thank you, Sandra. So keep that on your calendar. We're going to meet down at the park that day. We will not have Sunday school, but we'll have a lengthened morning worship time. And just be sure to invite people. You know, I've known several people that have said, if I walk in that church building, it'll collapse or it'll burn down. Well, let's come to the shelter house, because the church is not a building. The church is the gathering of the called out ones, the ecclesia of God. So anyway, there's some opportunities for you, and this summer is filled with all kinds of things that we can do for the Lord. Thank you again, and it's good to see everyone here today, but also if you're visiting, you're always, we're glad you're here. But Kim and I do thank you for your prayers over our little journey up to Northwest Iowa. And I'm not going to take time out of God's Word to go into that today, but if you're interested in what happened, it was an interesting time. And about this time last Sunday morning, we were having church in a little town called Royal, Iowa. Bob, you know where that's at?
It's up there.
About 12 miles southwest of Spencer.
Right.
And what I mean by that, we were having church in a little cafe, because in the Spencer area there was no power. There was no food, there was no water, there was no restroom facilities, refrigeration, you go right down the line. But we went out on a, just what Jason sang about, a seek and you shall find. Little cafe. How many people were there? Where's Kim at? Oh, there you are, pretty lady. Maybe a dozen, six at the most, yeah. Well, I was able to share the gospel, we prayed with them, and we just had a great time. And you know what? They said, if you go up through Everly, I think there might be a possibility you can get across the river. And we did, in about a foot and a half of water. Praise God. It's like I told Jory, the old Buick was like chitty, chitty, bang, bang. It made it through a foot and a half of water and didn't drown out. But we hooked up with some people from Mechanicsville that were up there as well. What an event. Through the deep waters, on a cow path, literally. We had to almost go to Minnesota to get turned around, and then Clear Lake, and we went right by the camp up there. 35 was the closest thing to the east, or to the west, that we could find. Every other road was underwater. And I'll leave it at that. If you want to talk, I'll talk afterward briefly about it if you have questions. It was quite an event. In a matter of 2 hours, we went from a parking lot that was dry to airboats, and motorboats and jet skis going through the parking lot with water waist deep. Yep. Anyway, quite an adventure. I did not get to speak at the banquet. That had to be canceled, and we did not get to have the church service up there at that event, but we had it at Royal. So hopefully we got the gospel into people's hands, and what a blessing that was. There's probably other things I need to talk. Oh, yes. Yes, I know that Thursday is the 4th of July. And we do need to thank God for our nation and for the independence that He has granted us as a nation in the stead that He grants us individually as people. God never forces us. But I will take some time next week to recognize God's independence and, again, that special day. In case you wonder, I usually preach about things at the nearest Sunday. So this being a Thursday, that message will be next Sunday, Lord willing. So that's where we're at today. But the title of our message today is, Do You Have a Reservation in Heaven? Do you have a reservation in heaven? So we'll explore that today. It's found in the Peter's first epistle, 1 Peter 1, and we're going to focus on verses 3 and 4. But before we do that, let's go to prayer. There are some needs, again, in our family. I know there are spiritual needs, but there's also some physical needs. And we know that Rose Weichert this morning is having some physical ailments, not of a variety that has hospitalized her, but she's concerned. And so remember Rose and others in your prayer, and we give praise this week as well. Chris Ash got home.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And by the way, hallelujah just means simply what? A joyful shout of praise to God. And we need to be praising Him in all things. So, Jason, I appreciated Matthew 6. Yep. And that message there. Well, let's go to prayer. We'll have just a few moments of silent prayer where you may adjust your heart before the throne today. This is a time of worship where we let God know He is worthy. And so as we adjust our hearts, and then I'll follow with a brief pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running here today. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may Your name be hallowed this day. I thank You for who You are and how You've manifested Yourself to us. Lord, I thank, in the person of Your Son, Jesus, Lord, I thank You for that today, for Your love to each and every one of us. I thank You, Lord, for every person that's come into this room today to participate in worship and to be encouraged and edified or convicted in the teaching and preaching of the Word. Lord, I just noticed there during that silent time, You just showed me through the Spirit again, the little voices here, the children, up to the very aged adults that are in attendance here, Lord, and You love all Your flock. Lord, help us to love one another. Lord, it's a privilege to be an under-shepherd of Your flock. I pray, Lord, today for results in lives, and that today, as we are under the teaching of the Word, and Lord, again, I'm sure no speaker, but Lord, the Word will speak for itself, and it'll change us, it'll transform us, because it's quick and powerful, it's living, Lord. So today I pray that the Holy Spirit would have a handle on the hearts, and Lord, again, that we would be transformed and made different from how we walked into these doors today. Lord, I just again thank You for the opportunity and for the fact that Fruitland Baptist Church still exists. It's been here quite a while, Lord, and we have a reason and a purpose to be here in the area called Fruitland. And so I just pray, Lord, that You would give us all a purpose to be interested in our neighbors, our friends, our enemies, whatever the case may be, Lord, that this place would be a place of healing and hope for those that are willing, again, to come under the sphere of influence, Lord, of Fruitland Baptist Church. We pray for all other pulpits this morning, too, Lord, that are Bible-believing, teaching pulpits. We pray again that Your Word would have a dynamic influence on the hearers today, Lord. And again, we thank You for the freedoms we have in this nation. And Lord, we know that America is under attack. It's under a satanic attack. But Lord, You can bind Satan's hands. And we just pray, Lord, in all these things as we walk through our daily situation, that Your will would be done. And Lord, that You'd bind Satan's hands and that You would bring about a revival in the United States and in the world, but that we know that first has to start in our own hearts. And I pray that today that this would be the day. Now, Lord, we understand, too, that there are some that are not well in our midst. Rose this morning has again made that known, and there are others, Lord, that are suffering. We know, Lord, from our studies on Wednesday nights lately that Job
sets a gold standard for what suffering is like and all the things that we can glean from that. But we know this, Lord, no matter what we are going through, you are there for us. We give you praise and thanksgiving that Chris Ash has been able to be released from the hospital. And we pray that you would continue to prosper her journey, Lord, as she recovers. And Lord, we just know today there are many things that maybe can't be shared in the hearts of the folks here and not here. We pray for our campers today, Lord, that are away, and pray that this will be a time of spiritual growth for them and relaxation. And now, Lord, as it comes down to the time here where I'm responsible to preach the word, I pray you'll help me, that, Lord, will be filled, and that you'll empower me with the Spirit today for the preaching. As you know, I'm not capable and not worthy. There's a lot of reasons not, just like what Moses said, but, Lord, all I can do today is offer what I can under your authority of help. And so may this message not be in vain. We know, Lord, that your word never returns unto you void, but it accomplishes the things that you desire for it to do. Lord, may your presence here motivate us, and may we be a blessing to you as well this morning. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know we all need some exercise and you're all settled in, but would you join me this morning? Let's open our Bibles or your devices, whatever you may have. Let's read from Peter's letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 together, if we might, this morning. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, and then you may be seated following that. 1 Peter, take just a few moments to find it toward the back of your Bible. And by the way, there is an index in our Bibles, but it's a good thing to remember and memorize how the Bible flows. But we'll be reading from the epistle, or the short letter of 1 Peter, and we'll find out who he wrote those to this morning. It's us indirectly. But anyway, verses 3 and 4. And it says the following. Just read whatever version you have today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Friends in Christ, Peter's first epistle, or short letter, is what an epistle means, was written largely to a dispersed Jewish converts to encourage them as strangers in what is known as Eurasia, or what we know today as modern-day Turkey. What took place in Israel back in those days, after the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, was a great, predicted, by the way, by Jesus in Matthew 24, was a great dispersion of the not only the Jews, but of the Jewish people that received Christ as their Savior. And they were under, again, the persecution of Rome, and had much contention there to deal with, but Jesus had given the Great Commission, and so there were many of these converts that were not, they were not troubled greatly by these types of situations. And what they did after the persecution arose there around the Jerusalem area and in Israel, they went out and planted churches. Can I hear a hallelujah on that? And you know, there's an old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I think this crop of people that had been saved were out there doing God's will, and so they were headed up north toward Turkey. And of course, Paul did some work in that area, so did Peter. Peter was a church planter as well. He was also the pastor of the Jerusalem church. We have some pretty good evidence that that was the case. But these people were obeying the Great Commission, and they were going forth planting churches. And as you know, I'm a big proponent that that's what churches need to do. We need to reproduce ourselves, not only within ourselves, but also without. And it can be something local or something clear across the globe. But we know Jesus gave those orders, again, to come close to home first with things and then expand out as we're led. So that was the situation with these folks. But even though they were brave, even though they did these things, even though they were obeying the Lord, as we all know here today, it isn't always easy to do that, is it? And so who Peter was directed to write to here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit are people that were struggling. And Peter brought a message, but also he brought some warnings and some help to do things correctly in the later part of this book, the first book. He brought a message of encouragement for those people to keep on keeping on. I hope today this message is a message of encouragement, but also as Peter was inspired by the Spirit, that it's a message of warning and a message of considering where all of us are at personally with the Lord. And what I mean by that is how Peter closed verse 4. Do you have a reservation for heaven? And that's what I want us to consider as we go through this morning. So Peter was a church planter, therefore he was familiar with the area, and the saints were likely a part of those efforts in the Roman provinces after the Christians were persecuted in Israel, and specifically in the Jerusalem area. And this was all done circa AD 62 to 63. So roughly 28 some odd years after Christ had been walking the earth. Obviously, they were enduring hardships, and Peter wrote them under inspiration of encouragement by considering the present and the future in God's plan for them. By the way, have you thought about the future? A lot of times, Kim has accused me of this often lately, all you think about is food. Because I said this morning, well, what are we having for lunch? Or I call it dinner. And Kim said, don't worry about it. And Jesus just said that, didn't he? Don't worry about what's for lunch. I'll take care of it. So I'm praying that God, through Kim's hand, will have a good dinner today. Someday we'll have another open house and we'll cook the dinner. We'll have some. It is our goal always to cycle everyone through. I don't know, ever since COVID, we used to do that. You remember that? We'd have people out to the house for dinner, two or three families a week. Faith, Kim and I are... Wonderful. Put that in right, by the way. That's all tape, Faith. It's on... Anyway... But he also gave that firm instruction, as I mentioned, of how to operate in times such as the challenge and duress they were under. Folks, are we under duress today? We are, but it's not that bad yet, but it could get much worse. So we need to remember this. So I would like us to consider for a moment the concept of a reservation and what it might bring to your situation and mine. As we consider this, do you know for sure that you have a reservation in heaven? That's not for me to discern, it's for you to discern. But folks, reservations are important, and I'm going to illustrate that here very briefly. But this morning, do you have a reservation in heaven? If you know you do not, do you want to have one? Some people may be thinking about that. Another question is, do you need one? Well, from the perspective that Jesus taught, we do, and what the Bible teaches. Because, folks, if we don't have a reservation in heaven, it means by default we have a reservation in a place of eternal punishment called hell. I want to tell us that very bluntly this morning. But if you know you do, I read that. And the important question, how can you get a reservation in heaven? Well, let's consider these thoughts together this morning. Before I go into this, though, and I won't talk about all the details of this little trip that Kim and I were on, but a reservation is very important today with many things. If you don't have a reservation, you may not get to participate in lots of things that we do in our lives today. So what I want to do quickly, and we did have a reservation, and we were thankful for that up there, but what I want to do quickly is to define, in my words, what a reservation is. And what the benefits of a reservation are. And this is what I wrote down. A reservation guarantees a specified accommodation of our needs. A reservation guarantees a specified accommodation of our needs for a specific time. In other words, when Kim made reservations at the hotel up in Spencer, she made it for 6 nights. And the truth of it is... As it is, by the way, the hotel is gone. Not washed away, but the bottom story had 3 feet of water in it. It may come back, but understand, even within the first day, it stank. All the carpets, you know, all the drywalls, all the fixtures, the beds, TVs, everything else, it's going to take a massive time. The owner of the hotel told one of the clerks, We'll be back in business in a week. And she said, no, you won't. You may never be back in business. And they had no flood insurance because they'd never seen anything like this in Spencer before. Okay? But we had a reservation for 6 nights. Now, theoretically, if we'd have needed a seventh night, and they were pretty booked up, they would have told us what, Kim? Hit the road, Jack and Jill, and don't come back no more. Okay? Sometimes we need reservations. And folks, let me assure you, with God, we need a reservation. We have to make arrangements. He offers heaven, but it's up to us to confirm a reservation with Jesus. Have you ever thought of it that way? Anyway, Woody, I see you smiling. We're going to have a good time in heaven, Woody. I don't think we even understand how good it'll be. We can't comprehend it in our finite minds. But I'll tell you what, that was some event up there. Well, I will joke about one thing, and then I got to leave it. But I'll talk to you about it all you want. But Mark, right away, son Mark, when we got home, he said, Dad, I think God was judging the idolatry of the IH people. And I said to Mark, I think you might be right, Mark. But I said, I am not one of those. But he had a point. And I don't know why God brought that about up there, but he has his reasons, and we'll find them out. But yeah, I like that when Mark popped up with that one. Always going to try to take the old man down, you know. Marlon, you'll have to tell him about the plate of cookies in Mark here the other day. But we won't go into that this morning. So anyway, it's a reservation guarantees a specified accommodation of our needs for a specific time. And I use the example here of a meal, or what I mentioned about the hotel. In regards to a meal, you know that you have a guaranteed time, a place, and a product that will meet your needs when you make a reservation. And as far as the hotel, it affords us security, or the meal, either one, in knowing ahead of time that it will not cause us undue worry or hardship as we anticipate the time of need. In other words, if Kim and I would have ventured up to Spencer when there's 10 to 15,000 people in the town for that week extra, the possibilities, even though God could overrule that, the possibilities of finding accommodations could be what? Very hard, if not impossible. Okay, so we understand that there is a reason for that. And it reduces, again, the stress. In other words, we can enjoy our lives. We don't have to worry about those things if we have that reservation, in this case for a hotel, but we really need to think about heaven. That's the point of all this morning. You didn't need to search or find accommodations when you reach your destination and you have a lack of anxiety and stress because you know where your destination lies. That's what I want us to think about this morning. Anyway, let's look at 1 Peter 1, 1 through 2 for a quick background, and we'll move through this quickly. And I've already kind of brought that forth, but Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, it says in the King James, if you may have a different version this morning, that just means dispersion. And let me tell you something, folks, even in Iowa, I like to use that term with people. Kim talked to people in French, and she told them, gracias. Rosa, what do you think about that? Jose? Robert? Huh? Kim didn't know French, so when she it's merci beaucoup. Huh? Kim, you're hilarious. There were people there from all over the world. Sweden, France, yeah. Other places, but anyway. Yeah. Strangers. And I mentioned, yeah, I said to people, yeah, you'll enjoy being in Iowa. And they said, what? No, I meant Iowa. But people used to call it that. They did in the old days. So these Jewish believers, converts, were strangers. And it says here they were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. By the way, these were Roman provinces that they went to plant churches in. Isn't that cool? Yeah. When God shuts a door one place, he opens another one another place. We just got to be ready to walk through the doors. And Peter writes, elect, meaning they were chosen by God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, And then Paul says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace is God's unmerited favor. And I said Paul, I meant Peter. And Peter's prayer here for them was once again that they would have the peace of God and that grace and peace would be multiplied in their life. Folks, I believe this. Peter wrote this for us today as well. It wasn't directly to us, but it is. And God intended that through the Spirit. He wants us to understand that today because, folks, we are strangers. We are sojourners. We are in an alien land because we're not in our heavenly home. If you're here today and you're not born again in Christ, you are a native of where you're at. And this world is your home, but our heavenly home for the believer is in heaven. And we are passing through, literally, here. This is not our permanent dwelling. Praise God, amen. But let me say this as well. If you're here apart from Jesus Christ, this is not your permanent dwelling either. And ultimately, friends, it's going to be in the lake of fire for eternal torment and punishment, which we can't even wrap our heads around. But if you can get it wrapped around a little bit, I guarantee you, you'll understand it is not where you should go or where we would wish anyone else to go. Okay? So he gives us that background about the peace and the presence of God. Now, he goes on to write here in our key verses today, and we're going to keep it short today. But he gives us this thought. He gives us and gives those people that were in that situation reasons to bless God and have confidence in our reservation in and for heaven. So that's what I want to share with you this morning in the essence is why we can take hope and why we can bless God and should bless God today if you have a reservation in heaven. And at the end of the message, I'm going to tell you how you can have a reservation in heaven if you don't have it today. So let's start out this morning in verse 3. And here's what Peter writes to those folks. He says, blessed or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Have you offered yourself and have I offered myself as a blessing to God in your life? We know that we live in days where me has been promoted over him. Okay? And what we revolve around in many of our lives, and it's always been a propensity for mankind, is how everything affects us. But folks, I challenge us this morning to do this. As you look at your life, how do you affect him? That being the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you and I a blessing to God today? And I can tell you from my own heart, and you know me well enough to know, that I am not always a blessing to God. And neither are you. I can say that on the basis of our humanity as fallen people. But friends, let's get our heads straightened around and understand, we have every reason to be a blessing to God. Why? Peter's going to bring some of these things to the attention here of those folks that were probably struggling, just like many of us may be today. And he's going to say, I want to remind you, and here's why we can and should be a blessing to the Lord. Well, he goes and illustrates this now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant. I want to stop on that word abundant for just a minute. It's the Greek word polis. Polis. And here's some of the words that we use in the English language to describe this. Abundant means much, many, largely. I like that terminology, by the way, when people count on $100 bills. Here's 100 large times large, right? But did you know they used to make a $500 bill? Yeah. I don't know whose picture was on it, but they did. Much, many, largely, greatly, plenteous, far beyond comprehension. Polis, in the Greek, abundance. Who can charge God with shortchanging anyone in this room today? I didn't hear any comment. When we really stop and think about it, what's he done for us? He's done it all. If you can't think of anything, take a breath. That's when I start to growl a little bit when people don't think about that. Listen, we wouldn't get a thing accomplished. We couldn't live without God. He's good to us today. brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's not only good, he's abundant. It's all good to the max. Enough said. Next word, which according to his abundant mercy. By the way, what's mercy mean? Mercy means not giving us what we deserve. Let's all be clear about this, folks. When Adam and Eve transgressed against God, God said it, death's going to enter the picture. He wasn't just talking about physical death. He was talking about eternal spiritual death. None of us deserve to be walking today. Because of our sin, we deserve eternal death. But Jesus Christ, in God's providential plan of love for mankind and forgiveness, God sent his Son that we might be redeemed by believing on him, by trusting him. That's big stuff, folks. We ought to be up dancing in the aisles this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. See, this is big stuff. Because he gave us mercy. By the way, grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Okay? And notice here, he says, hath begotten us again unto a, and I'm going to stop there, that word begotten, that just means simply being born again. Okay? In this case, in the Greek, God has offered us new life. He's offered us a change from our natural birth to a spiritual rebirth. That's when we're saved. That's when we have been rescued. That's what that word saved means. By God, through the work and blood and resurrection power of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Another time we could all say what this morning? Hallelujah! Yeah. By the way, you've known through the years, it's something that kind of grinds on me. I don't like it when speakers say, and all God's people said. That's up to you to respond to that stuff, but I'm going to say hallelujah this morning. Yeah. He's born us again unto a hope. But more importantly, there's a little preposition before that. It says a lively hope. Folks, if you're dead in your walk today, something's wrong. This is not boring stuff to the believer. This is lively stuff. Let's get excited about what we have been reborn, regenerated. By the way, we are not reformed, we are regenerated to a lively hope in Jesus Christ. This is why, as we consider, as I bring these things to us, why we need a reservation in heaven. Don't you want to be with Jesus for all eternity? I hear these people say, I'd rather be in hell with my friends. No, that's foolish, ignorant talking, folks. We want to be with Jesus. He loves us. He's our great, tender shepherd. He wants us to be with him through all eternity. He is willing to adopt us into his family by the new birth. Anyway, he has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Turn in your Bibles here briefly to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. I just want to read this verse. Most of us probably know it quite well. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And it begins, now faith is the substance. Back one page. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we don't know what heaven will be like. I've been talking to several people and thinking about this a lot greatly. In our finite minds, we can't even understand what heaven might be. In fact, I think sometimes when I read in Revelation and in some of the prophetic books, I think, what? This is kind of scary. Will the seraphim hit me with one of their wings? You get what I'm saying here, isn't it? The creatures? You think about all this. But folks, it won't be that way. The day that we set foot into God's presence in heaven, we'll understand it all. And it'll be fine. Okay, maybe that was you and I that were talking about that here a while back. So understand this. We can't conceive all of it where we're at today, but when we're there, we will know. Yep, I believe that with all my heart. But faith, again, is the evidence of things that we cannot see and that things that we hope for. And here again, Peter is telling us in that passage, he says, we've been born again, brought into new life, unto a lively hope of what is to come, because we've not just totally accepted it by faith, even though we have in our time, but it's guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, why do I believe that there was a resurrection? I preached on that a while back. There's hard evidence for it. And that's all good and fine and well, and there's biblical evidence, but you know yourself today, if you've been born again in Christ, Jesus is alive. Amen. The evidence is in us personally. And folks, if you have a reservation for heaven, you know that Jesus rose from the dead. The evidence is there personally if you've been born again. So again, our new birth is a second, component of that. I'd like you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. We will use our Bible some this morning. I hear Bible sales are down, and we need to use the Bible. They are not down necessarily, but we need to use our Bibles. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8 says this, "It is reported commonly among you," yes, I hope I'm in the right text here, "it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and that you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that have done this deed might be taken away from among you." Maybe I'm in the wrong text here. I got to check this out a little further. Let's see. No, this is right. Wrong. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. Forgive me. Well, I trust you will forgive me because I do make errors. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. I think this is where we need to be. Forgive me, Lord, for my poor writing skills. Here's what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," that's our bodies, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul's talking about this reservation for the believer. "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." I've mentioned this before. When you get a few years, you should always raise up and say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for another day." But oftentimes we say what? Oh! We're headed there, folks. Maybe it was this morning. No, it was at Moscow. I said, "I'm experiencing the second law of thermodynamics in my body. It's falling apart. It's decaying. Going downhill." But that's not permanent, because we're going to get a new one if you got a reservation in heaven. "If so then," Paul writes, "being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle," or this body, "do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." And what he's talking about here is eternal life. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit." By the way, folks, that's another way you know if you're saved. If you have the convicting power and the convicting peace of the Holy Spirit within you. The Bible says when we're saved, it is by default we receive the third personality of God as evidence of the down payment or the earnest of our salvation. Amen. "Therefore," here again, thinking about this reservation, Paul says, "we are always confident." Folks, I know today, and you can know if you don't know, that when our time is over in this body here on this earth, I have a home in heaven. It's not by anything I've done, because I'm unworthy, but I have trusted in the worthiness of Jesus Christ, and he has a reservation there for me. Does he for you? "We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." You know, I hear a lot of people say, "I'm ready to go." Be careful when you say that. I don't think any of us will be, we can be ready with a reservation, but we've got stuff to do. There's people that need one to Christ. There's things that we need to get right. We should never hasten the day, but we can always know that when we arrive at that day, we'll have a reservation. and we will not be denied. Let me finish. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And Paul goes on to write about that, but he goes down to verse 17, and here he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, we are going to experience, if you have a reservation for heaven, the newness, not only in our bodies, but in what God has prepared for you. By the way, the Bible says we cannot even comprehend what we are going to see in heaven. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it's 1 Corinthians 2:9, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. See, this is great stuff, folks. It's great stuff. So there's proof. And then, again, as I alluded to in 1 Corinthians 2:9, a guaranteed inheritance that cannot be taken away or lost. By the way, we all know what that's like. If you're doing inheritance here in this world, and people count on a lot of things like that, on inheritance. I use this example. You have a parent that's worth $1 million, but they go in the nursing home for 8 years. You have an insurance policy. Insurance company goes bankrupt. You can't count on anything in this world, folks. But you can count on Jesus. We have a guaranteed inheritance that cannot be taken away or lost. It is not temporary. It never fades or loses its glory. And it's reserved in God's eternal home, heaven, for you and me, our adopted new home. We're children of God in God's paradise with all our needs met, plus more than we can even comprehend. So this morning in conclusion. Preach on, brother. Yeah. So this morning in conclusion, I ask you and I, do you have a reservation in heaven? If you don't, you need to make a call on Jesus. By the way, He wants you to call ahead. Because if you don't have one in heaven, you do have one in hell. When Jesus gives you a reservation in heaven, the one in hell is canceled. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Folks, if you need to change your reservation, today's the day to call Jesus. And sometimes when we have to change a reservation in the physical sense, we have to say why things are different and explain what's happened, why there needs to be a change. It's the same thing with Jesus. And it's really summed up in this. Jesus, I've recognized today, after hearing what Peter preached here and what he told these people and about their reservation for heaven, I realize that I need to make a change because I'm headed to the wrong place. And Jesus, will you help me? That's essentially what it is. I believe that I am a sinner. I'm headed for the wrong place, but I also believe what you said in your word and what we know to be the case, that you love me and you will forgive me and you will save me. And I believe what you did is true. I believe you went to the cross. I believe you died, but you rose the third day. And I want that assurance in my life today, Lord, that I have a reservation with you in heaven and that one in hell is canceled. Folks, tell him your plight as a sinner. And He will save you today. He will give you a reservation in heaven. By the way, He has room in heaven. I won't go there this morning because we're short of time, but if you read about what Jesus said in John 14:1-6, He said, in my house are a limited supply, and inexhaustible. We go back to that word, abundant supply. Now, if you have the NIV today, it says an abundant supply of rooms. I prefer the King James translation there because you know what? I'm a child of the King. It says He has many mansions. He's got room for you today. And it's a guaranteed room. He has a room for you and I, and if we ask Him to save us, and we claim that reservation, and we trust in His guarantee of a room for us, He will give it to us today. It's that simple. It's nothing I can do to help you on that other than to show you from the Word just what I've explained this morning. Only you can make the reservation. You know, I'm very much this way. I like Kim to take care of all that so that I can what? You're going to say, oh, so he can have peace about it. No, it's so that when it all goes wrong, who are you going to blame today if you don't get a reservation in heaven? If you've heard this message this morning, you can blame yourself. Here's what I'm saying to close. Get your reservation today if you don't have it. And if you already have that reservation, think about what we read there in the first part of verse 3. You better bless God for it today. In whatever circumstance you're in, because folks, there's good things coming. If we have the reservation. Today is the day, though, I'll leave it with this, to consider reservations. I'm done talking. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. This is a song written by a Wilton guy, Charles Gabriel, number 60. And this is really the essence of all this today. I don't pick these songs, but it always works out. The Spirit does. Is Jesus precious to you today? And Charles Gabriel penned this song. It's something worth thinking about today as you consider the reservation. Let's sing stanza one. Don't ever be embarrassed to come forward. I'll tell you what, Jesus respects that when you publicly come to Him. It'll be a life-changing experience. What are you afraid of? There's no one in here going to laugh. If they might laugh out of joy to see someone saved. That's how it should be, but let me tell you, Jesus is ready today to take your reservation and to give you a reservation, to take your request is what I meant. Here we go. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. Weakness for strength I can cling, for He is so precious to me. Is He to you today? For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below. My Redeemer to know, for He is so precious to me. Brother Bob, will you close us in prayer?
Thank you. Worthy is the Lamb.